Okay, so we are on the journey to become a kingdom community. And that means the kingdom of God is going to invade your home. It's going to invade your life. We're going to see kingdom families. We're going to see the kingdom established in the marketplace, in your workplace, in your place of study, wherever your social environment is. This kingdom of God is the kingdom that cannot be contained. It is ever increasing. It only knows one direction, and that is increase. And so when that kingdom comes into your life, everything is going to change around you. And so today, on Father's Day, I want to lay a foundation for how the kingdom works in your life. And I trust over the next month, we're going to keep looking at this, that you understand that the structure and that the form of relationship that works in the kingdom of God, that the whole kingdom is built upon, is a relationship of father to children, of sonship, the Bible talks about. We've been given a spirit of sonship and of relating to our Heavenly Father. From the book of Genesis chapter 3 onwards is the story of how God is trying to reconnect us to the Genesis 1 and 2 picture that he had in mind. Genesis 1 and 2, he created a garden where man could live in relationship with his Heavenly Father. They could walk together, they could talk together, they could create together, they could work together, they could occupy together, they could rule and oversee together. But from the fall of man until today, God is on a restoration mission to bring back into alignment his creation, all of us, into a relationship with him as the Heavenly Father. And so to understand the kingdom, you must understand the relationship you have to the Father. So this is a huge issue that's lacking in the life of the church. We have a number of Christians who don't understand who they are in Christ. They don't understand this relationship between themselves and the Heavenly Father. There's an orphan spirit. There's a sense of we'll work hard and we'll strive and we'll prove to God that we're good enough. That's in effect religion. And so there's a lot of people who substitute religion for the reality of the kingdom of God. Then there's a whole lot of people who have a slave mentality. They go from being an orphan to being a slave, and it becomes very works-oriented, performance-oriented, and there's a heck of a lot of burnout, and the end result of burnout is that people fall away, and they move away from church life, they move away from the relationship with God because they see it as a negative. It's too hard, it's too demanding, I can't measure up. And so they, rather than go through the pain of disappointment, they just remove themselves from the equation. And so there's a huge number of people who still have some semblance of a faith, but they don't have that relationship with the Father because they see it as a works environment. That too is religion. And so we don't want to go down that road. We want to establish this relationship very strongly in our lives and in the flavor of us as a kingdom community, as a church, and we want to establish it on the foundation of being sons and daughters of the Most High God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, God says this, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. God, all through the Old Testament and the New Testament, introduces himself as a father to humanity. In Jeremiah 31:9, it says, they will come crying, and in answer to their prayers, I will lead them. I will make them walk by rivers of waters on a straight path where they will not fall. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. God's desire is that we find a straight path and that we're able to walk without falling. And the only way we can do that is when we understand that we have a Father who loves us unconditionally. Psalm 103:13, the Lord has loving pity on those who fear him as a father has loving pity on his children. Many people are working under the illusion that God's cruel, God's a heavy taskmaster, and that we can't ever win his approval. That just isn't true. He loves us the way we love our children, only better. Psalm 82:6 says, you're gods, you're all sons of the Most High. You know, we need to live up to the standard that God has made us to be. We can be free to become better than we've ever become. When you see how God sees you, he doesn't see us as some lesser creation. He sees us as sons of the Most High. Hosea 1:10, it will be said to them, you are the sons of the living God. I wish, I hope, I pray that our lives speak so powerfully of this relationship with our Father that the world around us says, you are different. There's something about you that I need to know what it is about you. Why do you have a peace and a joy and a calmness and a capability and a capacity, and you just seem to ooze glory? How is it that you do that? And that we could say it's because I have a relationship with the Heavenly Father who I know and who knows me. In the New Testament, Matthew 6:9, Jesus teaches us to pray, and he says, pray like this: Our Father who is in heaven, your name is holy. You know, of all the things Jesus could have taught the disciples when they were wanting to know how to pray, how to live the life that Jesus lived, of all the ways he could have started that prayer, Jesus laid the foundation, the opening line to a life of prayer. And the life of prayer isn't some duty. The life of prayer is the life of being in communication, in conversation, in intimate relationship with God. The way that it starts is on the basis of a relationship with my Father who's in heaven and who is holy. That's how it all begins. That's where Jesus, in teaching us how to pray, lays down the very first line and the very first structure of a relationship of an understanding is with our Father. In Matthew 23:9, Jesus says this. He says, don't call any man here on earth your father. There's only one Father and he's in heaven. That is not an instruction for all of us as children here to not call our dads dad. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying here is, if you've had a disappointing father, if you've had a father who has hurt you, abused you, abandoned you, then don't look to a man to try to find out who you are, what you're about, to find the affection that you so desperately need, the affirmation that you so desperately need. Don't look to a man for that. Look to your Heavenly Father for that. Let him be your father first. Let him take up the void that's in your life. Let him fill the gap that's missing. And then, when that is established in your life, you're going to find that, number one, you'll have a capacity to be a father. And number two, you will find spiritual fathers in the church of God who will begin to operate in areas of your life that you never had. In 1 John 3:1, see how much our Father loves us, for he calls us children, and that is what we are. He calls us his children, and that is what we are. Do you have an unshakable conviction that you are God's precious child? I know God has many children, but I'm his favorite. Do you have an unshakable conviction about that? Or do you still have daddy issues? Because you see, until that's established in our lives, and that is laid down as the structure of our relationship in this kingdom, we're always going to struggle. We're always going to have a problem of living out the kingdom of God until this relationship is in order. It's actually a lot like it works in the family. If you have a problem with your father in the family, it never goes well in the family. There's always a niggle. There's always an issue. There's always conflict. There's always struggle. There's always some kind of unhealthy atmosphere going on in the home, because this relationship with the Father isn't in place. In Romans 8:15, you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Daddy, Father. You know, where there's, in that relationship, in that phrase, there's a sense of vulnerability, there's a sense of humility, and that's often lacking from our lives. It's dangerous to get vulnerable. It's difficult to be humble. And this is the nature of the relationship that God wants us to have right at the very beginning. This is entry point to the kingdom of God. If this is not established in your life and it's not happening in your world, you're going to struggle to live out the fullness of the kingdom. In Matthew 3:17, Jesus is going to be baptized and he's going to begin his ministry. He's now a fully grown man. He's now ready to do the assignment that God gave him to do. 30 years of preparation has gone in to this day, and God shows up on the scene at his baptism, and this is what happens. A voice from heaven said, "This is my son. I love him, and I'm very pleased with him." I see three things here that God does in this interaction that show me what the role of a father should be. And it shows me what my Heavenly Father's role is in my life. The first is I see acceptance. And that acceptance provides me with an identity. He says, you're my son. You know, there's so many of us as men who have an identity crisis. I've spent most of my adult life, beginning every year, asking myself the question, who am I? Because I have come to the firm belief that everything I do flows out of how I answer that question. If I don't know who I am, then I'm going to take my identity from what I do. Or what I don't do. From what I have, from what I don't have. I'm going to become someone who strives to achieve something to validate who I am and prove to the world that I am whatever it is I'm looking for. But when I ask God, who am I? I ask my Father, tell me, who am I in your eyes? And he tells me who I am. It gives me a sense of my identity being set. I don't need a certain number of dollars to prove anything. I don't need a certain position or a title to prove anything. And this, you know, through life, men, I know you know this, things will come against us. Dads in this place, things are going to come against you through the journey of life that are going to test your identity. Sickness, loss of jobs, financial setback, relational issues, marriage issues, children issues. These things are going to come at you and they're going to test you and they're going to ask questions of you about who you really are. And if you don't have this settled, if you don't have this set in place, you're going to be all over the shop with the winds of circumstance blowing through your life. And you're not going to be able to provide that for your children and for your wife. You're not going to be able to provide the identity that they need. You're not going to be able to provide the security that they need if yours is not in place. So men, today we've been praying that the eyes of your heart would be opened and that you would be able to see what God sees about who you are. You know, as a pastor of this church and as a father in the faith, I've looked at many of your lives and I can see things about you. Good things. Amazing things. And I wish I had the opportunity to speak it out over every one of you and tell you what it is that God has put in your life. And men, I know as a dad, when I look at my wife and I look at my kids, I see things about them that I know from time to time they doubt about themselves. They're not always sure about who they really are. But I am. I know who they really are. And so today, part of what we're going to do is I want to ask you, as you're sitting at your table, to look at your kids, look at your wife, and there's something about them that you know. You know when you look at them, you know. I know you. You're creative. I know you. You have that unique ability to see things from a different perspective. You always bring a different side to the story. I know you. You're so persistent. You'll just never stop, will you? You just keep going, keep going. Sometimes that's not a good thing, but anyway, well, I see that about you. And you know, stuff like that only you know as a dad, about who they are. I want this morning, we're going to take an opportunity for you to look at your family, to look at your children, your loved ones, to look at the people around at the table and to be able to speak over them. This is who you really are. Well, I know you care about your hair and you care about your clothes and you care about other stuff, but listen, that's not who you really are. This is who you really are. I can vouch for that. I used to have hair. It doesn't really make that much difference. The second thing that I see God do is he provides affection. Affection provides security. He says, I love you. You know, I grew up in a family, my dad, he wasn't really good with affection. And it never, he was never able to give me that sense that I was safe and okay. Always had to feel like I needed to look after myself. And this morning, I want to ask you as dads to be affectionate with your wife and your children. If it's appropriate, give them a hug or a kiss. If it's appropriate, put your hand on them, around them. And while you're speaking into their life, look at them. Touch them. God is a touchy-feely God. I promise you. The third thing I see that God does is he gives affirmation and he builds up the confidence of Jesus, the man, with this ministry that he was going to go and do by saying, I'm very pleased with you. You're not just okay, you're the best. Could we be lavish, generous, over the top with praise over our kids and our wives? Could we take a chance as men and risk that they might get a big head and they might believe more about themselves than they ought to? Could we take that risk and just be lavish with praise and generous with positive words over their life? There's so many people who are walking around with a wreckage of negative words over their world that I think we have an opportunity to turn that around and begin that today as men. What do you think? I want to just reiterate, identity is a sign of a healthy kingdom community. I know who I am. I know what my purpose is. I know where I belong, where I'm accepted and celebrated. You know, I'll share this with you, not because I want to brag, but because I want to hopefully give you some ideas of what you can do as a family. But for a long time, I have said things over my family to help them to know who they are and where they belong. I've said, both is never give up. Now, I've watched how that's created some issues that are not always the best, but essentially, that is going to see them do well in their life. They are never going to give up. And both is always give their best. Is that always true? Not always, but we're working towards that. I'm calling that out over my children. I'm speaking that out over my children. I'm establishing their identity of what it means to belong to my tribe. I'm the chief. I've got a tribe. So excited. I'm an African. I'm allowed to do that. And in my tribe, we never give up and we always give our best. That's what it means to belong in our tribe. What does it mean to belong in your tribe, men? What does it mean to be in your family? What are the non-negotiables, positively speaking, in your family? I want to encourage you today to speak that out over your family. Tell them. If you've never thought of it, start thinking. Don't get too complicated. Keep it simple so you never forget. Affection is a sign of a healthy kingdom community. In the Bible, there are five occasions, Romans 16:6, 16:16, 1 Corinthians 16:20, 2 Corinthians 13:12, 1 Thessalonians 5:26, 1 Peter 5:14, that all say the same thing. Greet one another with a holy kiss. You know what? I've had arguments with people about all sorts of things. I've had people tell me that argue with me about tongues. I've had people argue with me about women in ministry. I've had people argue with me about women preaching. I've had people argue with me about head coverings. I've had people argue with me about the cross. All sorts of things. But I've never, ever had anyone argue with me about greeting one another with a kiss. What's the deal? As I looked at this, I said, Lord, why is this the case? And you know what God said to me? He said, you know, in all those other instances when people are arguing with you, you know what they want? They want to be right. They want to be right. It's driven by pride, probably. But in this instance, they want to be loved. If somebody begins to argue with me about why aren't we kissing one another at church, I'll know what you're really saying is, you want some love. And I'm good with that. But if you start arguing with me about other stuff, I don't really want to argue with you about that. Come here, I'll just kiss you. Or Greg will. You know, I was a stiff and staunch South African. We didn't kiss. You know, the ironing board thing. And I told you my dad wasn't the most affectionate of men. So I had some issues. And so what God did was he sent me to Melbourne. And he put me with a whole bunch of immigrants who they call themselves the WOGs. And the Italians, the Lebanese, the Greeks, and all those guys. And it was like a kiss fest. Everybody was kissing everybody all the time. I was so uncomfortable. I was like, what is wrong with these European Spaniards? Anyway, if you were in South Africa and you saw the Castrol ad, you would understand what I'm talking about. So I was there for a couple of years as these people just kissed me and kissed me and kissed me. And I'll be honest with you, as some of those beautiful Mediterranean girls, I didn't have a problem. I was like, all right then. But the blokes, I don't know. My dad told me that if you do that, I don't know. And so I had to learn to get over this. And what God did was he gave me a father in the faith in Dr. Camille Majdali, who'll be here next week, who kissed me on the lips. Way off sides. Way off sides. I've never been more uncomfortable in my life. But now, 10 plus years later, when he greets me and he kisses me on the lips, I'm okay with it. It's a holy kiss. There's nothing weird or funky or out of order about it. It is genuine affection. He loves me. He loves me like a son. He believes in me. He's proud of me. He loves that I've been a product of his life in some way, and he wants to shower affection on me. Guys, in this kingdom community, we're going to be affectionate. I've tried to kiss people. You all, ladies, you're good. I kiss you on the cheek. You all know that. I brought that with me from Melbourne. Okay? Thank God for Melbourne. It wasn't a complete write-off. And gentlemen, I don't kiss you. I think you know that. I'm okay with that, but hugging, we can do that. And we can begin to exercise affection. We can begin to break down walls of rejection, walls of isolation, walls of guilt and shame. We can begin to break that down by a display of affection. We can start today. I don't know if that's you, if your family would be considered an affectionate family, but maybe it should be. Maybe we should be lavish in our affection. Maybe we should be generous in our affection. Maybe we should be a touchy-feely kind of family. You know, appropriate. We're not talking about the wrong stuff here. It's the good stuff. Okay? And then the third thing is affirmation. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, I know who you are, I know what's in your life. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Why? Because in Luke 6:45, it says, what you're thinking about out of the good treasure of your heart, you bring good. But the evil man of evil in his heart brings out evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. One church, I really pray that we become a church that just is lavish and generous in praise. Praise to our God. Praise over one another. That we can see things that are happening in each other's lives that are good and we cheer you on. We say, man, you're awesome. I don't know how you're not the boss of that company yet. Those guys must be crazy. They haven't recognized your excellence yet. Don't worry. One day you're going to get there. When you look at the young people, man, you're amazing. How did you get to be so amazing so young? You're going to change the world around you. Look how brilliant you are. This is the kind of kingdom community that everybody longs to be a part of. And we have the opportunity to create. It's the kind of community that is broken down into families, that families thrive in and flourish in. We get an opportunity to start new every day. That's the great thing about our God. Perhaps you haven't done this well. Perhaps this is not what marks your family to date. But it's not too late. We can start today. And so we're going to take communion now. And this act of communion is going to be led by the dads at the table. If you are at a table now where there are no children, other people around you, quickly reposition yourself so that you can become a minister in the house this morning. Okay? And we're going to exercise the blessings that we've just spoken about. We're going to speak about identity, we're going to speak about affection, and we're going to speak about affirmation. So while you take communion, as you share the communion out, gather around the tables, as you give the communion out, Jesus died on the cross so that the kingdom of God would be established in each of us, in each of our lives. Let the kingdom of God break out of you today and over your family today. Tell them, this blood, this body was broken so that you can have your identity set. Tell them now about their identity, wherever they are. Dave, would you mind just playing some background music for us, if possible, please? Tell them who they are. When you give them the bread and the wine, give them a kiss or a hug. Tell them they're beautiful. Lavish praise on them. If you can't do that, just touch them on the shoulder. All right, let's do that together. Let's enjoy communion together. One church, fathers, dads today, I really hope that we've begun to crack open something that will continue to flow in our lives. If you're going to go and do a Father's Day meal or celebration somewhere, carry on what we've started here. Keep doing it. Keep telling your kids how amazing they are. Keep telling your wife how special she is. Keep touching them. And just letting them know that they're okay, they're safe. You know, don't starve them of affection and starve them of praise. Bless them with it. Let them be full, full and overflowing. And you watch what will start coming out of their mouths. Guys, I can't stress it enough. This is how God thinks about you. He says, the thoughts God has towards us are impossible to number. The good words God wants to speak over your life, He can't stop speaking good things over you. He can't stop lavishing praise on you and affection on you. And so, let's be like God. Let's let the kingdom of God come in our lives and in our families.
There you go. All right, let's pray together. Dear Lord, bless my father with the best of your spiritual blessings today. Let him know he's not alone in the task that you have given him to provide for and support those under his care. Show him how much you delight in his work and affirm the value of whatever you have given him to do as a father and as a child of yours. Confirm his work daily so he has no reason to doubt whether he is loved in the eyes of his heavenly Father. Create in him a deep sense of trust in you, knowing that he can count on you to help him lead and protect those dependent on him. Let him know that every unselfish act of love and encouragement that he has offered has been a gift that you received gladly. Show him how effectively the prayers of a godly man really are and what a difference he has and can make to those around him, no matter how big or small the assignment. When challenging times push him beyond his limits, assure him that you can take him further into the realm of possible impossibility. Speak deep into the spirit the powerful words he longs to hear from you, that nothing can ever separate him from your love. Help him to grasp firmly the promises of your word, standing with faith on the things you declare are true. Reward him for his faithfulness, past, present, and future, assuring him that true success and satisfaction don't lie in his accomplishments or accolades, but in the steadfast Christ-like character you are forming in him. Demonstrate to him your amazing grace and forgiveness as he seeks to love and to know you with all his heart, soul, and mind. Release him from unwanted burdens of false guilt, and bless him for the willingness to keep short accounts with you, forgiving both himself and others. Help him to see his children through your eyes, realizing in your hands is the safest place they can ever be. Strengthen his confidence in only one who can bring good out of every situation. Teach him how to meet the needs of his child's life that are within his ability to do so, but help him to trust you for the rest. Push out any fears and grant to him godly wisdom and spiritual guidance to lead and direct those precious children in your path, knowing he must also release them into your hands with prayerful love. Complete any healing of past hurts and regrets that may interfere with parenting his children. Build in him a sense of joy, humility, playfulness to draw his family close. When plans don't develop as he hopes or dreams are not yet realized, open his eyes to see beyond this world, to a greater joy that never disappoints, and to a father who will never leave or abandon him for his loved ones. Give him a passionate faith, a persevering spirit, and a powerful testimony to overcome any weakness or doubt as he wears the armor of God daily that you have provided for him as a spiritual leader of child of God. Today and for all the days of his life, fill him with the best of your blessings so that one day he will stand before you and hear your ultimate words of praise. Well done, my son. Well done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to challenge you to try do this regularly. We try daily, just in the evening between me and Estelle, but daily. In the Jewish culture, they've got every Friday, they have a meal together and they do that. And I want to say, do it. We all thrive on this. Amen. Can I close in prayer? I'm just going to close in prayer then and release you. Thank you for joining in and enjoying with us. May God bless you. Father, thank you for everyone that was here today. We leave them in your hands, Lord. Father, that you will guide and lead and teach them this week, Lord, and that your blessing will be abundantly on them in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you very much.